Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. Fantasy Sports Today, Dan Strafford, George Kurtz along with you for the next 2 hours, getting ready for week 11 in the National Football League. Coming down the wire here of regular season play in fantasy football. George, I know you're in about 233 leagues, but I was wondering, what's your status? Are we looking towards playoffs? What sort of situations do you see yourself in as we're coming down the home stretch?
Well, in the money leagues, I'm doing well. In my home league, which is probably my most important league, I think most people,
yep,
their home league is the most important one, right? It's with your buddies, your family, the people you really want to beat to death. You know, so that one I'm in, I'm a runaway right now. So I'm looking good there. And then there's a couple of leagues where it's the frustrating one, where your top point getter, top 3 point getter, either you're struggling to make the playoffs or maybe not even in a playoff spot. So that happens to everybody. Everybody has to complain about that. Oh, I'm finishing top 2 in points and I'm 5-5 or I'm, you know, below 500. Hey, it happens. You know, that's why, Dan, I got to tell you, my favorite type of league, I like to have a rule. Actually, I like one of two things. One, the rule would be, you know, generally 6 teams make the playoffs. That last team should be a team, regardless of record, that has the most points but wouldn't normally make the playoffs because, they, you know, they gotten unlucky. They played the hot team every week, even though they're scoring 1,000 points. So that team gets in because of that. But the way to solve that problem, period, is play a doubleheader each week where, yes, you're playing head-to-head. If I'm playing Dan, Dan wins, all right, I get a loss. But if you're in a 12-team league, the top six teams in points also get a win. That alleviates the unluckiness. Therefore, even though Dan beat me, Dan had 200 points, I had 199. Tough loss, but I also get a win for being one of the top 6 point scorers in a 12-team league. It alleviates some of that unluckiness.
I like that. I haven't heard that specifically before. I'm very much a proponent of all play. You still play head-to-head, but you're playing everybody every week. You're really mitigating some of the luck week over week that may happen when you, as you just said, you play a team that perhaps has, you know, Mahomes, Hopkins, and a random scrub wide receiver 3, and they just blow your doors off. But you had the second highest points. You shouldn't get a loss that week per se. But I like the idea of the 6 highest scoring teams get a win on the week in a 12-team league. So I think that's a good one. I think all play also levels the field a little bit where you're just playing every team every week over the course of the season. It should be that the better teams are at the top of the heap. But as we come down, it's funny. The league I care most about in fantasy baseball is a league I joined late. So it's a bunch of my buddies from high school and work after high school who asked me to join their league, and it was already running, and it's a 10-team fantasy baseball league with 6 keepers. And I just get to a point where I care so much more about that simple league that I need to prove, because it's a lot of, oh, Dan, you're a fantasy analyst. You should win this running away. You should win this league every time. You do this professionally. First of all, I do it part-time. Let's you know, not pull any punches here. But further, every league is different. This league is a head-to-head points league, George, but 3 teams in it draft like it's roto. So it throws everything off when it comes to the draft. It throws everything out the window. But each year, I'm like the middling team. I'm the one who's like fighting to get into the playoffs or getting in the playoffs and losing in the first round. So this year, all my focus in fantasy baseball is on that heading into the winter. I'm going to study that league specifically, and all other leagues be damned. I need to take that one down next year. But hope everyone that is listening is on their way to the playoffs or pushing for the playoffs. We're here to help with just that. Make sure you have the right start sits going on. make sure that any waiver wire claims that maybe adds going into Sunday because of injuries or because of somebody getting, you know, pop up snaps for some reason or another, you can get them in your lineup and make sure to get a W this weekend. As always, we're going to go game by game for this week in games, and we're going to talk about the Thursday night game. But I want to get your take here, George, on something that I was reading about this morning. And this is sort of the nature of where we are in the world because of technology and because of social media. But I was reading a story from, I think, late yesterday afternoon. It's over on ESPN.com. It's on every major sports network. The NFL has fined Indianapolis Colts rookie guard Quentin Nelson $26,000 for leading with his helmet on a play that went viral on Twitter, a source from the Colts was telling Adam Schefter. So 5 days after the actual play, it went viral on Twitter, and then he got fined. Is that good policing by the NFL that they may have missed something, saw it on social media, and thus, you know, got it right? Or is this sort of, hey, NFL, you missed it. Some guy in his basement somewhere made a short video out of it. It went viral, and now you're fining the guy. How do you take this, and do you think this is sort of the future of fines and the way we do business in the NFL to an extent?
Yeah, I can sort of go both ways on this, Steve, from both points of view. All right, if it's legal and you got a fine, or you're supposed to fine, well, then it doesn't matter who found it, who spotted it. It's like sort of a committing a crime. Police didn't see it, but some bystander had it on camera. Doesn't mean it's still not a crime, right? It is. So even though it wasn't their camera, it was a bystander's camera. But I also feel like, well, I think the NFL fines too much. I don't like some of the fines they do for in-game plays. You know, if the action wasn't egregious or, you know, really, really bad where he's trying to hurt somebody, that only should be fined for it. You're penalized for it, you move on. It's part of the game. You know, you don't see, hockey players fined for slashing somebody. You know, you got a penalty. That's your fine, the penalty. You know, I don't like the fact that they're getting fined later for something that's part of the game. So it does bother me a little bit in that direction, but they've been fining everybody for years now for every, you know, pretty much for breathing out of step here, you get fined. So in that respect, all right, it doesn't matter who caught it. But I'm not a big fan of it. It's too much. I want to know where all this fine money goes, by the way. Just to my mind, just too much of going on here. But, oh, this guy got fined this guy got fined that. And I don't think the fine should be a set amount. I think it's grossly unfair that someone who's making $20 million gets fined the same amount as someone who's making $780,000. You know, I know for us making normal money, we're lucky to make 40, 50, 60, 70,000. You know, that either way, it sounds ridiculous. They can afford it, but it shouldn't be that way. It should be a certain percentage of what you make, more than just a straight amount.
Looks like the fines go to the NFL Foundation, the NFL Players Care Foundation, and the Gene Upshaw Players Association's Players Assistance Trust. So it at least is not going into Roger Goodell's pocket. We know that much. But it is
like he needs the help.
That is true. So we keep an eye on where fines go. But I hear you, and I think there's an interesting road to go down from a rules committee standpoint on how is it almost double jeopardy, right? What you made the reference to police officers and a bystander taking video of something. Are we fining them by penalizing their team in game and then individually fining the player after the fact? And does that make the most sense? You make also the point about hockey, and it's funny because slashes in hockey are almost more of an actual crime. Like there's physical, you know, there's a weapon, there's a physical change in what you're doing, and a slash or a high stick or a cross check. Those are all things that you're using a specific object to try to hurt someone, like to try to do it. So that is a good point as well. Let's get the rewind machine going here and talk about Thursday night football. I'm happy to say the Seahawks are who I thought they are. They're a 500 team. They are 5-5 right now, battle back to 500 in a game against the great Aaron Rodgers and the hapless Mike McCarthy. It really is amazing, George, how listen, there are plenty of times I'm sure there are coaches who win games and I don't recognize it, right? I think that's a given state of any sport where the small things the coach does during the week or even the play calling sequence, the game script, that leads them to win the game. And we all think, well, Rodgers had a great game. Aaron Jones had a great game. Good job, players. But it seems like there have been a number of boneheaded coaching decisions by Mike McCarthy. Timeouts this time around were poorly managed. Just some bad decisions about punts and fourth downs. The what could have been for Aaron Rodgers' career may be a deep discussion to have if he had a decent coach. Not even talking about Belichick, just talking about somebody who is better than McCarthy. But any fantasy football takeaways from this game? Anything? I know MVS was fairly non-existent in this one. Anything that stood out from the 27-24 Seahawks win back on Thursday?
Yeah, well, MVS didn't stand out because when Randall Cobb was out, MVS took over the slot, and Seattle does a very good job in the slot. I believe he's only targeted three times. And listen, I started MVS in a league that's going to – it might cost me. It might cost me a playoff spot. So that's concerning or annoying to say the least, but that's why. Just having bad luck. We all got on McCarthy. Everybody got on McCarthy, rightfully so. The timeouts, yes, they were managed poorly. It probably in the end didn't matter. They weren't going to get the ball back anyway. It's the fourth and two. It's really simple, boys and girls. Fourth and two. You want to put it in the hand of your defense, which is not very good, or in the hand of one of the best players in football? I think I'll put it in Rodgers' hands. I think I will. Yeah, I know it was at your own 30. You didn't get the ball back anyway. You might as well keep it in your best player's hands. So I think that was the mistake. And we're seeing it more and more in this day and age, and I think we'll see it more and more throughout the years now. More coaches are going to go for it. Put it in your quarterback's hands. That's why you have him. That's why you're paying him all that money, rather than relying on your defense, unless you have a top-notch defense. Or maybe it's one of these 14-10 games where the offense hasn't been able to move the ball and you have a good defense, you know you're going to get it back. Other than that, it's just too risky. The Packers weren't playing good defense. They weren't stopping the run. Russell Wilson was getting hot. He was doing the right things. So I think that's the big mistake there. Taking it out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, in my mind, was the big error.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, we can – not you, George, listen. Everybody else listen. We can debate football versus math. I would say it's football and math. But the math says – and logic says going for it on fourth and two, field position wise, makes more sense than often punting the ball. There's a great ESPN documentary, I think a couple of years ago, I think it was ESPN, about a high school team that always went for it. Like they never punted the ball. And they had one of the most prolific offenses in their league and in the country because of it, because it was constant offense. Not to say that would work in the NFL, much like people were like, oh, they should run the wishbone in the NFL, it'd be great. Athletes are too high, high level. It would be a different game. I get that. There's positional battles that you need to take. Giving another team the ball at the 40 when your defense isn't as good, I agree with you completely, is not a good idea. But the idea that these coaches at midfield or even slightly plus territory are still punting blows my mind. It blows my mind. And so I know the offense is king in NFL, and I know defenses have a tougher time locking things down and there's less contact. I get all those things. But I'd love to see coaches, and you see it more from the Doug Petersons of the world, probably see it for Frank Reich from time to time, these Sean McVay, these guys who are starting to understand the difference of each situation. I'd love to see more coaches go for it on fourth down and more fans understand why they're doing it. Now, that's usually what comes last, but I would love to see that be a change in strategy as we move forward. We're going to go game by game and make our rounds through each of these matchups. We'll talk about the fantasy implications. We'll talk about the wagering implications and make sure to take your calls in the second segment of the second hour. So that is about an hour away from now. We'll open up the phone lines. I look forward to hearing from Kenny if he is out there today, appearing each and every week here on Fantasy Sports Today, Saturday morning edition. There is a poll out for you to vote in over on Twitter. That's at FNTSY Radio. It's who's your favorite wide receiver one for week 11 in daily fantasy? It's DraftKings prices. I have Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr., DeAndre Hopkins, And put T.Y. Hilton in there because some people do like to go cheaper at wide receiver, make the decision that they're going to pay down there. Hilton all the way down at 6,100 with a pretty solid matchup. Luck throwing the ball a lot. So thought he could have some upside as a wide receiver one at a cheaper price tag. So let us know of those four who you like or if there's someone that you prefer as your wide receiver one in the matchups this week. Tweet at us again at FNTSY Radio and at Dan Strafford, at George Kurtz. George, we're going to start off and we'll carry this one over into the next segment. How are you feeling about this Cowboys-Falcons matchup? Cowboys at 4-5. They're 1-4 away from home. Falcons defense doesn't play much defense. Do you see this as a potential Cowboys win on the road, or do you think the Falcons overall take on this game, the Falcons are the ones that with a -3.5 and a 50 over under should be on your betting radar?
I mean, Atlanta's been a house of horrors for Dallas. That was the nightmare game last year where Chaz Green played left tackle, and I think Dak Prescott still getting sacked in that game. I want to get sacked 9 times, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, house of horrors game for Dallas. They don't really Dallas is going to have a tough time matching up with anyone, a team that can score points. And even if the Dallas defense is playing well, Atlanta's still going to score in the 20s. And that's if the Dallas defense is playing well. Playing poorly, it could be worse. So I don't want to say it's a must-win for the Cowboys, but it's a game they, if they want to have a chance, they really have to win because you're playing Washington on Thanksgiving. So you win tomorrow, you win on Thanksgiving, you could theoretically be in first place if Washington loses tomorrow, as you would be made up those 2 games. Because after that, you're playing New Orleans. You're not winning that game. So I'm just going out on a limb there saying you're not going to win that game. So I think Dallas has a chance tomorrow, but if I was betting, I think I would go Atlanta. I think I'll score enough points. Atlanta's a different team at home. They will score points. I'd bet on Atlanta. I'd take the points.
So it opened at a 48 over-under up to 49.5, 50, depending on where you are. -3.5 has been the line the entire time. We're going to break down this game from a player's perspective on the other side of this break. As always, you can find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, at Dan Strafford, at George Kurtz. We are with you every Saturday morning here on Fantasy Sports Today. Getting ready for Week 11 after this. Come on back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Every morning here on Fantasy Sports Today, you get the top plays across all sports. George and I are doing our best to get you ready for Week 11. A little Sugar Ray getting us going on a Saturday. I can dig it. I may have been somebody that owned their first major release album. I'll admit that as well from back in high school. Nonetheless, we continue on here talking about Dallas and Atlanta. Matt Ryan's had a really solid season, George. You look at his numbers, and they're not too dissimilar from 2016 when he won the MVP. And I think that obviously what some other quarterbacks and some other top players are doing on other teams eclipse Ryan. And we've seen even a jump in offense from 2016 to this year. So matching numbers isn't necessarily the best thing, but he's had a really solid go. What's your take on Ryan here against this Cowboys defense? He's at home. We know that's a plus for him. We're in the dome, typically plays better at home. Do you like Ryan as a QB1 this week? Somebody that is a must start if you have him rostered?
Yeah, I think he's a QB1. Whether or not he's a must start, it would depend on who the quarterback is. You're right. He's much more like the quarterback he was in 16 rather than the quarterback he was last year, which is good for fantasy because generally Ryan's been up and down. But he's already thrown over 3,000 yards, Dan. I mean, he's going to come close to 5,000 this season. The run game is average at best. You know, without Devonta Freeman, they got Tevin Coleman, who's better pass catcher out of the backfield than a runner. I think that's going to hold true tomorrow as well. I don't see Atlanta being able to run the ball all that well. You know, I think they'll run it just enough to keep Dallas honest, but not have anything big on the ground. I don't know if Ito Smith is a play tomorrow. Generally, he's been a flex play most of the season, but tomorrow I'm probably leaving him on my bench. Tevin Coleman will start for me. Julio Jones always starts. Really, the kind of question comes down to Ridley and Sanu. How deep do you want to go with the Atlanta passing game? I'm probably going Ridley. Sanu is more, okay, what else you got there? But I think Atlanta eats here. I think they'll score points. I think Dallas will score points too, by the way. I think Dak, because they're going to have to. I think Jason Garrett's going to have to unleash Dak somewhat. But defense will play well, but not well enough. It won't be like holding. They're not going to hold Atlanta to 17, 20 points. Dallas is probably going to have to score 27 to 30 to win this game. I think it's going to be that kind of game here. So I think points will be put up on the board.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think Sanu's somebody from a DFS perspective that I'm a Rutgers shill, and imagine that being such a bad college football team. But I always have a soft spot for Sanu, but seems like a good slot matchup here against Dallas. Julio Jones has two tough matchups on the outside. The Cowboys have two big bodied cornerbacks, but obviously volume supersedes all here for Jones, and he's had a great, great season and finally adding some touchdowns to the mix there. How do you feel about Dak in this matchup? Looks like the Falcons don't really put too much pressure on the quarterback. Should be a game, as you said, that they need to generate some offense and unleash Dak to an extent. Do you see upside here for him, or do you think this is a pedestrian matchup where, you know, all things being considered, you'd prefer not to have to roll Dak Prescott in any of your season-long lineups?
Oh, what you said, the second half of that statement is what I would go with. I prefer not to, because you're starting it. That means your number one's not, you're probably on bye. So maybe you got Tom Brady, who really hasn't had a great season either. So you have some issues, to put it nicely. The problem with Dak, and you watch the film, is he doesn't seem to look into the secondary. He's looking for the short route. And when he does have somebody open deep, he misses them. You see it in back-to-back weeks, and he's missed Cooper for a long touchdown. He's missed Cole Beasley for a long touchdown. He's just not very good at the deep ball. You know, he doesn't have it. He can throw it. He has the arm strength to get it anywhere on the field, but he's just not very good at it. And there are times where he just doesn't look for it. You know, NBC in the Sunday night game last week showed, you know, pictures of people open in the secondary or getting open. He doesn't seem to anticipate people getting open, how they were going to get open, but he doesn't see it, and he dumps it off. That seems to be the problem with Dak. Now, maybe it's a combination of, well, he doesn't want to get hit. You know, he's afraid of getting hit. He's feeling the rush before it's even there. And that could be where, what you said, Atlanta doesn't put a whole lot of pressure. Deion Jones not playing tomorrow. So he should have extra time tomorrow, assuming the Dallas offensive line is healthy. Maybe that helps. I just think in the end, he can't do the dump-offs. You can't rely on Ezekiel Elliott to eat the clock up like he did last week, where the Dallas is going to have 160 yards rushing. Can't rely on that. Might happen, but you can't rely on that. Dak's going to have to make some plays.
I agree with you there, and I think there's some upside here from a daily fantasy perspective. I don't know that I'm going to roster Dak Prescott at all, but down at 5,200 on DraftKings, I think you'll see him owned because of this matchup and because of how it all comes together. Any other pieces here that you want to touch on, Amari Cooper or any of the wide receivers for Dallas, or ready to move on to our next contest?
Dallas has all the wide receivers besides Cooper? When does this happen? you're starting Cooper. I mean, the passing offense is through him. He's only been with the team a month, but that he is the passing offense. So you're going to start Cooper. Obviously, you're starting Elliott. Really, that's it. If you're starting Dak, you probably don't have much up. Which is not, by the way, terrible, by the way. Not like you're starting some schlub here, but I prefer not to start Dak. But he has had two back-to-back weeks of decent fantasy totals. It's amazing what a wide receiver can do for you to help that passing game. So he's not a terrible start here, but I don't have him in my top 12 either.
All right, let's continue on here talking game by game, week number 11. Don't forget, you can ask questions over on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Happy to hear from you there. And then we'll open up the phone lines in hour number two to get your takes and your questions answered here on Fantasy Sports Today. So let's move on to our next contest, which is Panthers and Lions. Carolina on the road here, but -4.5. Favorites 49.5 over under from last I saw. I'll double check live odds here momentarily. This could be a fun one for Cam Newton. And I say that every week, but I feel like this is a matchup where he has to be considered from a DFS perspective. The floor is just so legitimately high with Cam. With the rushing, Detroit's struggled in the secondary as well. So maybe some upside for Cam on the passing front. How do you break this one down? Where do you see points being scored? And then we'll go into individual players in this contest.
This is a little bit of a strange one here. Detroit, is Darius Slay going to play? I would say yes. And if he does play, he could follow Funchess all over the field, which pretty much eliminates Funchess, who's really not doing all that much anyway. Not much upside there fantasy-wise. I'm not saying not to start him. You may not have three better receivers here, or four if it's a flex. But I'm not seeing big things here. And I'm looking now, Slay doesn't have an injury designation. He's going to play. So Funchess, not seeing much there. I might prefer more there in the passing game. The run game, CMC is fine. You mentioned Cam Newton's playing fantastic. And I attribute a lot of that to, like everybody else, North Turner. And all the good things he's done. It's amazing what Turner can do for a quarterback. And, I mean, all of a sudden, Cam Newton's completing a higher percentage of his passes pretty much than ever before. Looks great. Just looks great. So, good things there. For Detroit, Kenny Galladay's last man standing. And I'm not so sure that's a great thing. All right, Marvin Jones is out. So, get him out of your lineups, which hurt me in a league or two. I had to get him out there. I like Galladay, but he's going to get all of the defensive attention. All of the defensive attention. So this is a problem here. I mean, and in one of these home leagues I play in, it's a two-quarterback league. Not Superflex. I wish it was, but it's a two-quarterback league. I got Stafford. You know, I started Russell Wilson already, who was okay, not great, but okay. But I also had MVS in that league. Now, I played a little... This is why... this is what's fun about fantasy. Generally, Dan... You know, if I'm playing Dan, I don't look at your team. I don't look at Dan Stafford's team if I'm playing you. It doesn't mean anything. You start your best players. But I happened to look at my opponent's team on Thursday before the game, and I noticed he has Tom Brady on bye. He had another quarterback, I think Nick Mullins, on bye. I forget who. Oh, he has Eli Manning as one quarterback. This is one quarterback. This is a two-quarterback league. And I look, I'm like, oh, he doesn't have another quarterback. And he was asleep at the wheel. Even though his record's 6-4, it's actually better than mine. So first thing I did is I claimed every quarterback that was available. all's fair, right? And the only quarterbacks who were available who were starting were the Baltimore quarterbacks. Not Joe Flacco, but Lamar Jackson and Robert Griffin were there. So I claimed them both. Right? So he can't have a quarterback this week. He could take Taysom Hill. I'm not going that low. All right, he wants to go take Hill on the wall. Once he thinks about it, fine, let him do that. But now I'm thinking, this is where I bring this up. If Lamar Jackson's named the starter tomorrow, should I be starting him over Stafford? That's where I am at this. They're playing Carolina. Not the greatest matchup. They'll be trailing against, so they're going to have to throw. But is that enough for me to put Stafford in my lineup? Or do I go with a risky Lamar Jackson who no one knows what Lamar Jackson would do. Or if he would play the whole game, would it be him and Robert Griffin? You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, is the rushing attack from Jackson alone? If he plays, I would expect him. I'd probably put the over-under on rushing yards at 58. So, and I might bet the over there. So that's a touchdown right there that I think, just on rushing, can I trust his receiving to get more of Stafford? So that's what's interesting to me. I originally did that, claim all the Baltimore guys to screw over my opponent. And I clearly admit I'm doing it. I'm surprised I haven't received nasty texts and emails from him yet, one of my best friends. But I don't care. hey, that's what you're supposed to do in fantasy. And it's ironic because I never look at my opponent's roster. Never. Don't care. I don't know what made me do it this week. You know, just to notice that he didn't have a backup quarterback. And like I said, first cut, he could have bought Jackson or whatever, Griffin in waiver and the way when you paid for it in Fab. He didn't. And then first come, first serve started at 6 o'clock on Thursday. He didn't do that either. I didn't make this move until right before the game, hours later. So his own fault for sleeping at the wheel. Not that I wouldn't have done it at 6 if I would have thought about it. I would have. But so it's just funny how it worked out. And now I might have to start Lamar Jackson. It'll come down for me, and ready for anybody who's thinking about starting Lamar Jackson this week. It'll come down to really listening at the pregame tomorrow. How much I think Jackson's going to play. Is he going to start the entire game? It's not a great matchup, but it's at home. It's not a horrible one either against Cincinnati. But this tells you over and over again how much I'm worried about Stafford tomorrow. He just doesn't have anything left to throw to.
Yep. I think you made the point about it may not be a great thing that Galladay is the last man standing. I think that's exactly right. I don't think this is all the targets go his way. It's all the defense goes his way. Like every single possible play here from Carolina focused solely on Kenny Galladay. I guess people will talk about TJ Jones, but I'm not really a huge fan there. I don't know what to make of Lamar Jackson. We'll talk about that game later. I watched him in college. We talked about this last week. I loved him in college. I thought he was a superb college quarterback, and I think the talent is there and the skill set is there and the smarts are there to be an excellent or at least a very good NFL quarterback. I just haven't seen anything over the first 10 games in the limited packages they've run out with him that suggest he's going to throw the ball effectively. Mainly because they've just used him as a wildcat running back. So I've no idea. And to your point, do we see some Robert Griffin III? Do we see that sort of mixed bag? This is a Ravens team that still has an eye on the playoffs. Has a bit of a you know, outside track at 4-5 to making their way in the AFC North if Pittsburgh were to slip up. So this is a game they want to win. This isn't, let's see what our youngster has. Let's see what our future is. We'll get to it later on, but I think that's a tough decision. I don't know where I'd go there. I think Stafford has just enough upside at home, but obviously the Lamar Jackson rushing perspective does give him a bit more of a floor for any matchup, you would hope at least. Any offensive pieces from Carolina? Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's had a very, very good year for the Carolina Panthers. You have a mixed bag at wide receiver. Anybody else worthwhile, maybe from a deep threat position? Maybe you're in a deeper league. Somebody you think from Carolina could step up from the wide receiver spot and have a big game?
Yeah, I said Fun just scares the crap out of me tomorrow. I think Slay is going to follow him there. Torrey Smith is out. DJ Moore is the player I'm looking at here. I think he could be the beneficiary of Fun just getting all the attention. Even Greg Olsen, I'm not a big fan of, but I think he has. I think he'll eat tomorrow. Same thing. I just don't think what's going to happen with Funches. So DJ Moore would be that deeper player I like. You know, the Panthers did just pick up Kenyon Barner. Remember him? We all liked him that 1 week for New England. That didn't work out very well. He's there. I'm not saying to start him, by the way. I'm just pointing out that he's now on the Carolina Panthers. Other than that, it's amazing to have such a good the offense is really Cam and McCaffrey. You know, Cam's playing well. McCaffrey's running well. The offense moves. And I don't expect them to really have a problem tomorrow. I just don't think Funches is going to be a big get for fantasy owners.
All right, let's keep churning here as we get through. We'll obviously turn our way back to some wagering discussions and some DFS as we go through here in week number 11. The teams on bye are the Bills, the Browns, Dolphins, Pats, Jets, 49ers. Amazing to see three of four AFC East teams on bye here, but that is where we're at.
Good.
Obviously feels good to have the Jets and the Bills off of this slate just from a football perspective.
That was painful. 49ers. We had to watch that game last week here, Dan, okay? I know you're on the Boston area in the New York. We had to watch that game. That's like, oh my God. That is the NFL should run a promo during this. This is why you get the Sunday ticket. So you don't not forced to watch this game. I mean, my
just
God.
Just a bug the entire time. Yeah, in the bottom right. You could be watching.
You're not from here. Right? And but you know, before I grew up, we're older. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah.
So, but before we had the Sunday ticket, you know, back in the 80s, before you had a ticket, before you had anything, all right, you couldn't watch extra games. The worst Sundays on the planet where you'd get like the Jets and Colts at 1 o'clock. This is before the Colts had Peyton Manning. I'm talking back in the 80s here. And that was like watching paint dry. And then at 4 o'clock, you'd get the Giants and Cardinals. It was like watching paint dry, then watching grass grow. There were no other games, folks. Okay, you didn't have anything. We prayed for the 10-minute ticker. That was when every 10 minutes they'd have a crawl across the bottom of the screen flashing the other scores. And that was the huge thing. That was back when sports phone was the big thing. Dial 976-1313, and you'd call and you'd get scores of other games. And you'd pay a dollar a minute, whatever the hell it was. Okay, this is what we had to go through. We had to walk uphill and, you know, both ways in 5 feet of snow to get to school. It's amazing how things have changed. But that's what that reminded me of on Sunday. You know, I had the three TVs above my fireplace to watch the games, and that Buffalo Jets game was on the screen as furthest away from my eyesight as I could possibly find.
Oh, boy. Being a Jets fan, not fun. Not fun at all. But anyway, we continue on here. Jets are so bad.
My eyes out.
But hopefully it's turning around. Everyone's saying Lev Bell is a no-doubter to the Jets. I think Lev Bell watches football, too. Why would he go to the Jets?
Well, he only cares about money, right?
Well, yeah.
That's why.
He cares about not being, you know, absolutely wrecked on the field and watching this team play. I don't think he can see a world where he's not the main focus of any defense and gets beat up every
week. He's not going to be able to have his cake and eat it, too. He's not going to be able to make the money he wants, which is obviously most important to him, and go to a good team. Because guess what? The teams that have that kind of cap room are bad teams. You know, if it's not the Jets, the Raiders, they'll have the money if they want to sign. I don't know if he's going to want to go there and really then have to move to Vegas in 2 years. I don't know if he's going to want to do that. The interesting team is we heard before, or actually during the season, as far as a possible trade, the Eagles were interested. So there's his cake and eat it too. You know, maybe he can go there. Indianapolis, we've heard them. They have the cap room. The Eagles' cap room would be interesting. Indianapolis has it. But now they got Marlon Mack. They may not feel the need to pay a running back what he wants. So it'll be interesting to see in the offseason. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great theater to see what he can make and where he'll go.
All right, we have a ton more games to get to here, and we're going to continue that in our final segment here in hour number one. Don't forget, poll is open over at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. Want to hear who your favorite wide receiver one is, and of course, you can always reply with your top play as well. So, tons to get to here. Going to go to our next game after this break. You're listening to Dan and George right here on Fantasy Sports Day, the Saturday edition, FNTSY Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Shout it out, George. Shout it out here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Strapp, George Kurtz. Each and every Saturday morning, getting you ready for the top plays in Week 11 of the NFL season. Let's continue on here as we scroll through and make sure we touch on each and every game. Titans and Colts up next. Absolutely love this game this week. I think this is one that a lot of people will be on. Feels like the Giants-Bucks game may be one that people stack more from a DFS perspective, but this, I think, has some goodness to it where we see some upside from a variety of positions. Let's see most recent line movement here to scroll quickly. Maybe not too quickly. That's a shame. I saw -1.5 on the static line that I was looking at. Here we go. -1 currently. So -2. Oh, no, it flipped. Sorry, George. I'm stumbling a bit here, but it opened at -3 to the Colts, -2 now, which I've never seen. I don't know that I've seen a -2, not -2.5, but a -2 in a long, long time. So -2 for the Colts, 26.25 implied total for Indianapolis, 24.25 for Tennessee, an over under of 50.5. It opened up to 48. So obviously the betting world is seeing this as a game that should score points as well. What say you, George? How does this one break down?
Well, first of all, betting wise, I'm not touching this game. This is going to be a pretty even matchup here. Tennessee's hot, playing well. Seems to have, as Mariota's gotten healthy, seems to have figured out their game here. They're playing well on both sides of the ball. I'll pass. As for fantasy wise, all right, I know Derrick Henry's got touchdowns now in a couple of straight weeks. He's still so hard to trust to start because, let's face it, he's not doing much else. If he doesn't get a touchdown tomorrow, he's not going to have really any fantasy value. I mean, it's just so tough to rely on touchdowns week in and week out, even though I kind of like the matchup here. Marcus Mariota, I think, once again, he's not top 12, but he's sort of like Dak Prescott. He's not that far out either. He can make a nice streaming quarterback this week as he looks healthy. So now he can sort of do damage with his arm and his legs. What we'd like to see. Corey Davis starts for me tomorrow, absolutely, for Tennessee. Deion Lewis will start. I think Geno Smith, if you need a tight end back, once again, back-to-back weeks with touchdowns, he could sneak in there and be a streaming tight end. If you lost George Kittle or Gronk, Njoku, one of these guys you need a desperate tight end, Maybe it's Geno Smith. As for Indianapolis, you're starting Luck. Not the greatest matchup, but you're still starting him. You know, the Tennessee defense is good, but they do have problems on the perimeter, on the outside. So this could be a better week for T.Y. Hilton, who's been quiet of late. He's someone you go in there, Marlon Mack, you're going. I don't know if I'm going anybody else, though. The tight ends are interesting, right? Eric Ebron, 3 touchdowns last week. A rushing touchdown last week. How are you feeling if you're a Detroit Lions owner right about now? I mean, wow. This guy couldn't do anything in Detroit. And also, he looks like a world beater with Indianapolis. It wouldn't shock me tomorrow if it was a Jack Doyle day tomorrow. You know, that's what Indianapolis is doing. Keep defenses guessing here. I would still probably prefer to start Doyle over Ebron. But at this point, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, and maybe I'm saying that because I'm a Doyle owner in a couple of leagues. And you know, certainly last week was crying time when it was all Ebron all day against Jacksonville. But I just wonder if this week we go back to Doyle. You know, I think there's no way of truly knowing here. I do have Doyle ranked higher, but I don't say that with any amount of confidence.
It's I think you still have to trust the talent, and the talent lies a little bit more with Jack Doyle than Eric Ebron. But last week was rough. Last week, as a DFS owner of Doyle, I did not like to see what transpired and Eric Ebron getting into the end zone as he did. I hear you on not betting this one. It does feel like a game that if you got at 48 to start the week as an over, I would have been comfortable there. Now up to 50 and a half, I can't say that I'm pushing the over even beyond that. And the spread being at -2, I do think you're right. This is an evenly matched game. I do think there are a ton of DFS pieces here, though, that can, to the point, the tight ends, hopefully there's a little bit reduced ownership on Doyle because of last week. I think Luck is fine. I think Mariota is intriguing, too. I know he's not exactly the dynamic quarterback we may have seen a couple of years ago, but he has a ton of upside in this matchup. And I think price tag wise, you continue to see a sub 6K price tag on Mariota. I like it. And Andrew Luck checks in at 5,900. I know the Tennessee defense has been good from a pass perspective. I'll pull up Football Outsiders numbers in a second, but I just love the volume with which Luck is playing, and I think each and every week you're going to see a ton of passes from him. So I do fear some matchups, but this isn't specifically one of them. Tennessee DVOA pass rank 18th on the season, so there are some holes there, and I think that Andrew Luck will be able to expose them. Amazing I'm saying that. I never thought, you know, last season with all the shoulder issues and not throwing the football, we'd be back at this point with Andrew Luck, but happy to see it. Obviously a very talented quarterback who can do some real damage this week in the NFL. Anything else from this game? Another set of 5-4 and 4-5 teams. It seems like that's the entirety of the AFC right now. But anything else you want to touch on before we move on?
Well, it's a big game, so we'll see what happens here. I don't know anything. I mean, Luck is back to being at full health here. Right? Last couple of weeks, we've seen that now. Luck just looks great. Good for him. You know, it's in some ways, it's already been a successful season for Indianapolis, right? As most important thing for that franchise, to get your franchise quarterback back healthy and playing, and playing well. And he sort of checked off all those boxes. So good for that. You could obviously start Luck with pretty much impunity here. And, you know, you put in that little poll earlier about Thomas, Hopkins, Beckham, and Hilton. And Hilton really, I don't think he's anywhere near the other four here, unless you're just going purely cheap tomorrow. He's a good receiver. He's really not in the ilk of the other three. And although tomorrow I think he'll do better than he has with fantasy owners in the past, really, month or so, he's been quiet here. I don't think it'll be enough where he's going to win you a fantasy league tomorrow.
All right, let's continue on here as we go game by game on Fantasy Sports Today. Get you ready. And don't forget, if you want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire, try DailyRoto.com for free this Thanksgiving. That's right, free advice from fantasy millionaires, free daily fantasy projections, and free access to everything you need to dominate NFL DFS this Thanksgiving. Don't be a turkey. Head over to DailyRoto.com and enter the promo code TG18 to access your free 5-day trial. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code TG18. Do you remember the commercial, the weed commercial, George, from the like mid-90s? What's the matter? Are you chicken? I'm not a chicken, you're a turkey. Do you remember that commercial?
God, I don't. Doesn't ring any bells, no.
Oh, it's a good one. I'll have to send you the YouTube, but it's like a middle school kid, and one of his friends says, "You want to try weed?" It's like this over-the-top, like, awful line. And he says, "What's the problem? Are you chicken?" He says, "I'm not a chicken. you're a turkey, and he walks away from him. It's pretty amazing. I'll send you the link later. I remember it distinctly on WPIX back in the day, Channel 11 in New York. So it's a good one. But don't be a turkey. Don't miss out on DailyRoto.com. Free. It doesn't get much better than free. F-R-E-E, how I get most of my T-shirts in college was by signing up for free T-shirts while signing away my credit future by signing up for way too many credit cards. Anyway, let's continue on here as we go game by game. Make sure we get to a good one here. Not because they're good teams, but hopefully there's some offense involved. The New York Giants and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A game that could be pretty darn ugly when it comes to actual skill level on the field. Giants are -2.5 favorites at current. It opened at 52. It's up to 52.5. 27.5 implied total for the Giants. Tampa Bay's had their total drop from 25.5 to 25 flat. George, this is one where obviously Saquon and Odell, I guess Eli by default, simply because of the volume those two players should see, could make his way into a number of DFS lineups and season-long lineups. And on the other side, Tampa Bay has a number of pieces that should have some upside potential here. Is this a game that you're on? Is this a game that you think has some real fantasy implications this week? Or could this be a dud just simply because these are two bad football teams?
Well, it's not Buffalo Jets. Yeah, there are some fantasy players in this game. I mean, this is not a game where I won't be paying attention to. I think points we put up on the board here. So you mentioned Eli. I think he's an absolute streaming quarterback this week. Yeah, you look at Eli as a whole this season, the yardage has been there. You know, the yardage, he's throwing for a decent amount of yardage. The problem is the touchdowns haven't until last week. You know, where finally they made a concerted effort to throw the ball to Beckham in the end zone. You know, Beckham caught two touchdowns and he had at least two, three, four other opportunities to catch them. The problem is Eli, his accuracy is not very good. And he throws, man, Eli throws a lot of floaters. You know, he's throwing a lot of floaters up there, which gives defenders time to get there. And that's really the issue there. He's certainly not crisp anymore. But they made a concerted effort to throw the ball to Beckham in the end zone. And hey, points are going to be scored. Shocking when you throw it to one of the best players in the game. Shocking, I tell you. So, listen, you're starting Eli. You're starting Beckham. I think Shepard is a solid wide receiver 3 in fantasy tomorrow. We know Tampa Bay can't stop anybody. Engram goes for you.
Right.
Barkley, of course, goes for you. So the Giants may suck, but they got 5 players you can easily start here, fantasy-wise. And the same can be said for Tampa Bay. Yes, Fitzpatrick, you know, it's funny. He was bad last week, right? I mean, bad. 3 turnovers in the red zone. Yet they're still starting him tomorrow, which may... It's a strange situation in Tampa, Dan, because they almost... If they were positive that Winston wasn't going to be back next year and they were protecting themselves against injury, the injury insurance for the contract, he'd be the number 3 quarterback. But he's still the number 2, which means they're not sure. They're not benching, but then why isn't he playing? This makes no sense. You know Fitzpatrick is nothing more than a backup. You're not winning. When you're 3-6, your season's over. So why aren't you finding out if Winston's the man? Once again, make up your mind. Is he not the man? Then make up the number 3 so you don't have to worry about him getting hurt and you got to pay that contract. Or you start him to find out, can he be the man? It's just right. It's strange how Tampa Bay is going about this. I mean, really strange. And once again, I'll say this again. I put this up a couple weeks ago. I think this is the battle of head coach versus GM. Cutter knows he's gone. He's as good as gone. He should have been back this season. But he wants to – Fitzpatrick gives him the best chance to win now, to win as many games as possible, and to – you know, pad that resume, whatever that resume is, to pad it. Hey, I went 6-10. Well, you know, that sort of thing, rather than going 3-13. You know, where the GM has to be like, I got to start Winston. He's the one I may have to pay $20 million to, $20.9 million to next year. So Winston has to start here. And if I'm a GM, it comes down to, listen, either you start Winston or I fire you now. You know, I'm surprised they keep going back to Fitzpatrick. It makes no sense. Are they waiting until they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs? You know, which may not happen until week 12, week 13, week 14, actually, before they get mathematically eliminated. It's just a strange situation there. But anyway, for fantasy tomorrow, Fitzpatrick starts. Once again, you'll take the yardage. He was terrible last week. 3 turnovers in the red zone, as mentioned earlier. But he had, 406 yards passing? I mean, wow. And that's against what's supposedly a good Washington secondary. So 406 yards, you're certainly going to be starting him. Mike Evans has been disappointing. I mean, he has. But you're starting him. Godwin was on the injury report earlier this week, but he's going to play. I mean, he's iffy depending on what else you have in your roster, but he's certainly startable. You know, Humphreys is hot. He's playing well. DeSean Jackson, you sort of need the big play, but he's a guy who could be in your lineup as well. O.J. Howard is a tight end one this week. You're starting him. So there are, we may hate this game because the two teams are terrible, as you said, but fantasy-wise, there's a lot of guys here you can go with.
There, yeah, it's a ton of pieces that will be going in season long, and I think you're going to have a large ownership contingent here from a daily fantasy perspective. For so long, we were playing tight ends against the Giants. If you look at DVOA numbers, again, it's somewhat matchup dependent. We can't just say that they're good against tight ends, but much better ranking this year than seasons past. They're seventh against tight ends, but this is going to be an interesting matchup for Mike Evans. He has the height advantage. He has a definite size advantage over the Giants cornerbacks, but can he really be efficient and good this week? Like, give that wide receiver one upside that we've been really struggling to see on a consistent basis. And I forget what the stat was with Fitzpatrick, but there was something insane about the modern era of football and a quarterback throwing for over 400 yards and not scoring more than 10 points or so. I have to find it, but it was just such an anomaly of a start for Fitzpatrick from a yardage versus touchdown perspective that I'll see if I can dig that up and get it right.
The last one was Joe Montana, who did something similar.
Is it okay? So, and he's pretty good at football, but big thing, I've heard some talk about him, some chatter every once in a while, is one of those quarterbacks that we should talk about a little bit more. People forget that. People forget that he was good at the football. Let's continue on here. Well, here's my question for you: if you're looking at Odell Beckham, maybe from a daily fantasy perspective, you're starting him in season long. He's one of your best players, obviously, and you're going to get him out there. Do you think there's enough of a floor here, George, meaning a consistent play from Eli Manning, enough of a connection between the two of them and a matchup that Odell Beckham is a cash game, somebody that you're trusting with, you know, at least a floor of maybe, let's say, 10, 12 points on a site like DraftKings? Is Odell Beckham Jr. in your lineup construction when it comes to floor and thinking that this is a trustworthy matchup and a trustworthy connection with his quarterback each and every week?
Yeah. Yes. I think he, because once again, the offense is built around him. And I think they're starting to realize that. Get it to Beckham's hands as much as possible. Barkley and Beckham, you know, the killer bees. The ball has to be in their hands. Let them do the damage here. Tampa Bay has no secondary. None. All right, Dan, you and I can run routes and get open against the secondary. They're just not very good. They've been terrible all year. This is not news to anybody. It's why we've been picking on them all year. I have Beckham's over-under tomorrow as far as fantasy points as 18. You know, for me, that's, five catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. 5-7-6.
Okay.
And that's what I have. So I think he's getting at minimum 18. That's the minimum. I think he could eel. I think it's almost past that. I'd take the over on that because I think it could easily be two touchdowns, 120 yards, and 7 catches wouldn't shock me at all. This secondary is that bad. I'm never worried about Beckham. You're always worried about Manning, you know, the floaters. You know, that's what always worries me there. The deep ball, not the greatest here, but the matchup is too good. For me, not to start Beckham tomorrow in DFS, it'd be tough. I mean, once again, you can't pay for everybody. Maybe you want to go Michael Thomas, who's another guy who can have a monster game against a Philadelphia secondary that's just not there. They're all injured and not playing. So I can certainly see that. Probably can't pay for both, but I like Beckham a whole bunch tomorrow.
Thus far in our poll over at FNTSY Radio, you can check it out, and I'll retweet it again now. Just if you want to check out my Twitter feed at Dan Strafford, and of course, you can always find George at George Kurtz. Beckham is at 19% with Michael Thomas at 33%, Hopkins at 29%, T.Y. Hilton also at 19%. Looking for who your favorite wide receiver one is week 11 in DFS. Those are all DraftKings prices. So Thomas at 8,800, Beckham at 84, Hopkins at 7,900, Hilton at 6,100. I think Saquon Barkley in this matchup is going to be very highly owned in daily fantasy, though price tag at 8,700 obviously benefits a bit here from some other games being off this slate. You don't have Todd Gurley at the top end, so you may have Barkley and Gordon fairly high owned as your top end running backs. But you do have David Johnson, Christian McCaffrey, and Ezekiel Elliott in the mix too, so maybe that spreads out a little bit of ownership. Electric Avenue, that's where we're rocking into in hour number two here on Fantasy Sports today. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz. Don't forget, top of the hour at 10 a.m. It's college football today, so you'll want to stay tuned straight on through that, as you do every Saturday morning right here on Fantasy Sports Radio. Coming back after this, Dan and George, stick with us as we talk week 11 of the NFL.